My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
All right, Fan Morning Show brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Doran not in today. He should be back with us tomorrow. He's feeling under the weather, and makes sense to me. Think he did high school football on Friday, did Pitt on Saturday, so he doesn't really get a three-day weekend, and we're getting into the grind, so I'm guessing he feels a little run down. Wishing Doran well. Can't wait to have him back. Big week. Mike Tomlin press conference today, baby. And you're going to be able to hear that right here on 93.7 The Fan. Mark Caboli's going to join us from 8 o'clock until 10. Jeff Hathorn at 7. Are you smarter than a plumber at 7:35? So still got a fun one planned for you if I don't suck the soul out of it right now. What are the Steelers doing this year? I had an epiphany over the weekend. You get some time away. You start thinking about things, and you think about where you're going to be when you land back at work. And where we are is week one of the football season. We don't have football tomorrow, but on Thursday we get Chiefs and Ravens to kick this sucker off. And who ain't jacked up? I know I am, but not as much about the Steelers. I'm excited to see how it all transpires, but I don't have high hopes for this team. How can you? Broderick Jones, he's banged up. You thought he'd be an answer, not so much a question. Looks like he's going to be a question. Dan Moore Jr. looks like he's going to start on the left side. Game one. Spencer Anderson looks like he's going to be your left guard game one. So a perceived strength going into training camp, a talented, if inexperienced, offensive line, you got question marks abound. You don't have a legitimate number two wide receiver. Russell Wilson, while an upgrade over last year, is he going to be good? I think the jury's way out on that. I'm optimistic, but it's not a sure thing. When's Justin Fields going to get in there? Nobody knows. I don't think Mike Tomlin knows. Unless they have packages ready for Atlanta. At which point, yeah, he would know then. So the offense, I don't think you can be super optimistic about. Defensively, you feel good, but they're weak at one of the more important positions in football, corner. Starters should be okay. Behind that, a lot of youth and inexperience. What am I getting at here? This, to me, is the ultimate purgatory season, maybe in Pittsburgh Steelers history. Ben Roethlisberger's final season, you wanted to see him go out in a way that you could be proud about. You would have liked to see him win a playoff game, but he got them to the playoffs. Following year, you got Kenny Pickett. And you had him for two seasons. I don't look at either of those years, despite how they played out, as purgatory seasons. Best case scenario, Kenny Pickett's your franchise quarterback. Worst case scenario, you find out Kenny Pickett's not your franchise quarterback. But regardless of what they did, how far they advanced, the season had meaning. Think about this year, though. What's the goal? There are two avenues here. And hopefully both can happen at the same time. But there's a good chance neither of these things happen. You break a playoff drought, you find out who your next quarterback is. Those are the avenues, right? Now, to break the playoff drought, I think the best quarterback for that is Russell Wilson. Finding out who your next quarterback is, though, if that's the other route, I think Justin Fields is the guy you'd rather be playing this season. Now, both things could happen, or none of those things could happen. There is a chance that Russell Wilson plays well enough that the Steelers are competitive and fighting for a playoff spot all season, and you miss out on the playoffs, and you never get to see Justin Fields, not play meaningful starter snaps. There's a chance that Russell Wilson leads you to the playoffs. Justin Fields is on the back burner all year long, and you don't win a playoff game. And then what? Are you going to pay Russell Wilson for 3 years? You going to give him a Kirk-type contract, Cousins? Are you going to give him a Baker Mayfield contract? Maybe. But just because he'd be okay this year wouldn't mean he'd be okay for the following three, because my man's 35 years old. I'd find it hard to believe that the Steelers would see that happen and then make Justin Fields their quarterback of the future. There's always the possibility where Russell Wilson gets hurt and Justin Fields comes in and he leads the Steelers to a respectable season. There's also a chance Justin Fields comes in after an injury, doesn't play well, and now your quarterback in the future is not on the roster. What I'm saying is the Steelers aren't going to win the Super Bowl this year, and there's a lot of variance on what could happen. I feel pretty confident about saying that. This team... You excited for Steelers season, guys? Sorry to put a nice storm cloud over everything before it even starts here. They're not winning the Super Bowl. It's not going to happen. So what are you really playing for? The Steelers are an absolute purgatory. They're an absolute quarterback purgatory. What are we even doing here? And I'm not saying that they did the wrong thing by acquiring Russell Wilson. I've been on record saying that was a good move the entire time. I'm not saying they shouldn't have acquired Justin Fields. I've been on record saying that was a good idea the entire time. But I think it's much more likely than not that the Steelers don't break their playoff drought this year. Playoff win drought, I should say, this year. And at the end of the year, we're still not going to feel super comfortable about their future at the quarterback position, which is the most important position, stop me if you've heard this before, in sports. It's tough for me to get geeked up for this. Well, last year, we had the preseason where Kenny played out of his mind and the offense looked really good. And you could be really excited going in because you think you might have the franchise quarterback. Clearly, they didn't. But at least the season had a purpose. And even when it was clear Kenny wasn't going to be the guy and they turned it over to Mason Rudolph, the hope was, okay, well, at least we found out about Kenny. Now let's see if we can go break that playoff drought. This year you come in and I think it's much more likely than not that Russell Wilson's not the quarterback next year. I think there's a fairly legit chance that Justin Fields isn't the quarterback next year. You're going to let him sit all season and then, what, are you going to pay him? And you're just going to turn the keys over to the castle next year? This is one of the weirder Steeler seasons I can remember. And their goal, you'd have to think, based on the way that Art Rooney II talked this offseason, and based on the moves that they made, is to break that playoff win drought. Okay. But then what? If it's Russ who does it, is he your guy or does he price himself out? And is signing a 36-year-old quarterback to a 3-4-year deal even good business? They might snap the drought, even though I'm not optimistic about that, and it doesn't lead you anywhere meaningful. All it does is mean that you can't say going into next year, the Steelers haven't won a playoff game in, at that point, 8 years. That's all it would mean. But I don't know that this team is any closer to building itself toward a championship than it was last year. In fact, I would argue absolutely it's not. Doesn't mean they're in a worse spot. The Steelers did the right thing for a franchise that wants to win. They moved on from Kenny Pickett. They cut bait from a guy who we knew couldn't cut it. And they did so with, I think, the best two available options that were realistic to be able to acquire. But even if they win a playoff game this year, and the fun that that would be for that Sunday, or Monday night, I guess now, or Saturday, as much fun as that would be for a day or two or three or a week, would it get them any closer to lifting the seventh Lombardi trophy? I don't think so. And that's why I go into this year and I just feel funky about it. I'm always excited for Steeler season. Everybody is. But what does it all mean, Basil? 412-928-9370. I hope I'm making sense. I did think when I was driving in today that it would be a little word vomity in this first segment, and here we are. But I think a lot of Steelers fans probably feel like me. What is this all about? It's a very nihilistic way to look at things here, but what is the absolute ceiling for this team? If you tell yourself Super Bowl, you are lying to yourself. We are probably looking at another year where they are barely over 500 because Mike Tomlin doesn't finish below 500. And he probably will get praised by the national media because the quarterback situation's really bad and look what a great job Mike Tomlin did. And they're going to be no closer to getting a Lombardi trophy at the end of the year as they were at the end of last year. I have a hard time seeing it any way other than that. By the way, your heart care matters. Trust the experts at UPMC. Get your heart screened. I'm getting my heart screened on Thursday. Very excited about it. Saw a story about Steve Sarkisian, the Texas coach, where he got a routine physical at Alabama and they found an aneurysm in his heart. Ticking time bomb. Could have been done. So get your heart checked by the experts at UPMC. Help me make sense of this Steelers season. 412-928-9370. I look at the offensive line the same way I look at the quarterback position. If your goal is to win as many football games as possible, then you should play, at the beginning of the year, Dan Moore, Anderson, Frazier, Daniels, and Jones. Because Jones played right tackle last year, Moore's got experience, and you don't want to start four guys with inexperience on that offensive line. If you're looking into the future, development, then you would play Jones, McCormick, Frazier, Daniels, Faltanu. They're not going to do that. So that tells you what they're looking to do, which is win games, make the playoffs. But this entire season to me is a season in purgatory and one of the weirder ones to break down going into the season that I can possibly remember. All right, coming up next, speaking of the quarterback situation with the Steelers, not for this year, but as you peer ahead into the future, there's only a few teams that I think you can make an argument that have a worse quarterback situation than Pittsburgh. We'll tell you about them when we come back.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
back, trying to make sense of what feels to me like an odd Steeler season. And here's a text, and I like this, at 412-928-9370. I'm going to help you make sense of the Steeler season. It's going to be fun and interesting, and we're going to see some great plays. Here we go. I am not suggesting that people should not be excited. It is going to be fascinating. Of that, there is no doubt. I can't wait. If you don't get jacked up for Steeler season and you live here, something's wrong with you. It's cultural. It's in our blood. It's what we do. However, where does this season lead us? It's possible, I guess, Justin Fields comes in at some point and has to play, plays well, and you go, man, there you go. There's your quarterback of the future. But I put that percentage very low. It's possible that Russell Wilson plays really well, and you go, okay, you sign him to a 3-year deal, and he's your guy, and maybe he can take you to the promised land if you continue to build around him. But I put that percentage pretty low. And so I guess the question is, can you break that drought? Can you win a playoff game? And I think the percentages of that are very low as well. But when I talk about the quarterback situation, I look around the NFL and I wonder, okay, who's got it worse? And I don't mean for this year. I do think Russ gives you a chance to win football games. I think he had a pretty decent season last year. I know Justin Fields is exciting and he's mobile and he's as talented as just about anybody. I'm not talking about for now. Who's got it worse than the Steelers when you're projecting out who's going to be your starting quarterback? Who's going to be your franchise guy? The reason I think about this is because I think Atlanta's got a really good one. I think Atlanta's in a great spot. They go out, they pay Kirk Cousins, who last season before he got hurt, played 8 games, led the league in passing touchdowns, led the league in touchdown passes of 50 or more yards, led the league in 300-yard passing games, and he was second in that span with 2,231 yards. So, presuming health, they've got a good quarterback in Kirk Cousins. They also drafted Michael Penix Jr., 8th overall, which had people's heads spinning around like they were possessed, but I thought that was a hell of a move. And so you might have your quarterback of the future, and you've also got a quarterback that has shown that he can put up statistics and win some football games in the league. So I like their quarterback situation. And I think because of the unknown of Michael Penix Jr., you could make an argument that you would rather have him than Justin Fields. I'd entertain the other argument, the opposite of that, but you can make that argument. Cleveland's not better. They know who their guy is. But Deshaun Watson is going to have a $72 million cap hit in each of the next 2 seasons after this year. I think it was Alan Saunders of Pittsburgh Sports Now who tweeted that at some point in these next few years, the Browns are just going to have to punt on a season because you can't build a roster around that. And I totally agree. The cap is made up until it's not. You can manipulate that thing, you can manipulate that thing, you can manipulate that thing, but eventually that bill is going to be due. So I don't think you can look at Cleveland's quarterback roster and situation and say that it's better than the Steelers. I don't think that it is, because the Steelers can at least cut bait with these 2 guys after this year. If it doesn't work out for either one of them, you start fresh next year. Not ideal, but better than Cleveland's situation. You can't cut Deshaun Watson or else, again, you're punting on some seasons. The Raiders quarterback deal is brutal. Aiden O'Connell loses the starting job to Gardner Minshew. If you were to tell me that Gardner Minshew lost the starting job to Aiden O'Connell again at some point this year, I would also not be surprised. But how do you wake up as a Las Vegas Raiders fan and have any level of excitement going into this year? You don't even have a chance. And neither of those guys is your quarterback of the future. If you're the Steelers, you can squint and you can say maybe it's Justin Fields. I don't think the Vikings situation's all that good, but that's mostly injury related. J.J. McCarthy and Sam Darnold. McCarthy's going to miss this season. Sam Darnold, I kind of put in the same boat as Justin Fields. I'm not a big J.J. McCarthy believer anyhow. Saints have Derek Carr and Spencer Rattler. I think Derek Carr is probably washed and Spencer Rattler is, well, he got drafted where he got drafted for a reason. And then the Titans, they got Will Levis and Mason Rudolph. Now, I love Mason. If you're a Steelers fan, I think you got to respect Mason Rudolph for what he did last year and really what he did his entire career. That guy persevered. That guy really got dragged by a lot in the media, myself doing the dragging. He stinks. What a wasted draft pick. And he hangs around and hangs around and hangs around. And he had a quarterback rating of 117 last year in three games and helped the Steelers get to the playoffs. You could do worse than Mason Rudolph as a backup quarterback, but he is not the future of that organization. And while I think you can squint and see that Will Levis might be for the Titans, I think you got to squint real hard. But those are the only teams that I think clearly have a worse quarterback situation than the Steelers. Oh, I forgot one, and this might actually be the worst in the league. The Giants. Daniel Jones stinks, and they've paid him. That's the worst-case scenario. You get locked in on a guy who sucks, and you pay him, and you can't get out of it. He got a cap hit of $50 million this year. $22 million in dead money if and when they cut him next year. That, to me, is by far the worst in the league. That is a horrendous situation. And he had a nice year when Brian Daboll came in as the head coach. And you could look at him as a poor man's Josh Allen. But we saw what happened last season. He stinks, and they're trapped with him. But that's where we are. Most of the teams in the NFL, they think they might have their franchise quarterback on the roster or a situation where they can win and maybe they've got that guy. The Steelers, again, you can think maybe Justin Fields is the guy, but nobody can say it with any level of certainty. And Russell Wilson, you hope to get a good year out of him this year, then you figure it out after that. You reevaluate. 412-928-9370. Someone texts in, jacked up, but it's going to be the biggest soap opera on TV this year. Dak is quarterback next year. Let me tell you, folks, buckle up and listen to 93.7 The Fan all Steelers season, because we're going to have the pulse of the quarterback thing. Nationally, it's going to be a disaster. I'm just telling you right now, it's going to be a mess. After every single game, the national conversation's going to be, when are we going to see Justin Fields? The Steelers can win and it not look pretty, and that's how they're going to win this year. And the conversation's going to be, get Justin Fields in there. I'm just telling you, even if they win. So buckle up and get ready for that. Because what did we hear all training camp? Who's it going to be? Big quarterback battle. Whoa, why didn't Tomlin name a starter until late in the process? Obviously a real battle going on there. There was never a battle. And yet all we heard from those talking heads nationally was, yep, could be Justin Fields. Now, Albert Breer came out with a report over the weekend saying that there were some inside the organization that were pushing internally to make Justin Fields the starter. Okay, yeah. There's going to be varying opinions in any workplace. What makes good radio? Not everyone views that the same way. There are people that choose to listen to Stephen A. Smith. A lot of them. Millions of people. He does radio different than I want to do radio. There are a lot of people that like this show, just as an example. So yeah, there are people within the Steelers organization, I'm sure, that said, we should go with Justin Fields. You know who I don't think thought that? His teammates. He was just voted a team captain. Again, his teammates voted him a captain because they believe in Russell Wilson. TJ Watt, Cam Hayward wanted Russell Wilson to be the starter. They wanted a veteran quarterback. So the teammates didn't want Justin Fields. Mike Tomlin, though impressed by Fields, never wanted him to be the starter. And I think that Art Rooney II, Omar Khan, Andy White all viewed it the same way. So if all the important people, most important people say it's not a battle, it's not a competition, it was never a competition, no matter how many internal candidates said, yeah, we could go with Fields. Internal people, not candidates. Good English by me. 4-day weekend in Morgantown, having a tough time. You can give us a ring on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Listen, if you booed Kenny Pickett at the Pitt game on Saturday, you should be ashamed of yourself. I'll tell you why. I'll give you my reasoning when we come back. I want to get into the actual football side of what happened with the Pitt Panthers against Kent State on Saturday, and we will do that before the hour is over. I also want to take about a minute here to point and laugh at Florida State. So Florida State doesn't make the college football playoff last year, and they bitch, moan, complain, blame the ACC, ask to get out of the ACC. Knock, knock, knock. There will be lawyers suing to get out, and is already, before the season has even really started, they're 0-2 in ACC play. Spend all that time and energy getting out to Ireland, line up, lose to Georgia Tech, take that big L, but that's nothing new. Georgia Tech's kind of had their number. Okay, bounce back. You can still win the ACC, still can make the playoff. They looked so bad last night. And who could have predicted that DJ Ungalele wasn't going to play good? Oh, maybe everybody. Because he wasn't great at Clemson. He wasn't great at Oregon State. Sure, bring him to Florida State. I'm sure third time's the charm. But you can't be the team that says, our conference sucks. We are so much better than everybody else. We need out. We deserve money. We are mighty Florida State. You can't be that team and then go 0-2 against Georgia Tech and Boston College. It's not like they started with Clemson and Pitt. Hey, Pitt won the ACC not that long ago. Clemson's kind of been top dog. No, Georgia Tech and Boston College. Is Matt Ryan there? Doug Flutie there? Nope. We got Megatron at Georgia Tech? No, they lost to non-triple option Georgia Tech. So you reap what you sow, and all these programs that have ruined college football in a way with these television organizations, anytime they lose to a team that you go, man, they shouldn't lose to, and they were 16.5 point favorites last night, you should all point and laugh. Like if Texas goes and loses some games in the SEC this year, point and laugh. If Oklahoma does the same thing, point and laugh. USC, Oregon, who looked awful this weekend, point and laugh. Because college football is not recognizable. If you've been in a coma for 10 years and you just woke up, congratulations, welcome back. College football, unrecognizable. LSU's playing USC and it's a Big Ten SEC matchup. These big schools, these TV networks are ruining what we've all held so dear, which is geography in college sports. So anytime they stub their toe, we should point and laugh. And I know I was laughing all the way to the bank last night because I picked Boston College to cover that spread. Should have taken them as the, should have taken them on the money line. Embarrassing performance. And Boston College might be squirrely. Quarterback's pretty good. Rushed for 1,000, threw for 2,000 last year. Castellanos. They might be squirrely. But even still, 0-2 against Georgia Tech and Boston College couldn't happen to a more deserving fan base. And they lost by 15 dang on points. Okay, enough about them. Pitt, nice win. Showed a lot with the offense. We'll get into that coming up in the next segment. But when Kenny Pickett was shown on the Jumbotron, there weren't a ton of boos. There was a smattering of boos. And anybody at the Pitt game who booed Kenny Pickett should feel ashamed for themselves. That is ridiculous to me. All it does is show you care more about the NFL franchise than you do about your university. When you show up at a Pitt game, you're a Pitt fan. Forget about what Kenny Pickett did in the NFL. You're a Pitt fan. What he did for you was take you to an ACC championship, fake slide, and win your dang ACC championship. Kenny Pickett should be a football god to you. He decided to come back instead of entering the NFL draft. And he had an unbelievable season where he's a Heisman finalist. 4,300 passing yards, 42 touchdowns, only 7 picks, 67% completion percentage, rushed for 200 plus yards, five touchdowns. My man had 47 touchdowns and took y'all to an ACC championship, and you're going to boo? But Pitt fans make a big deal about what their guys do when they go to the NFL. And for good reason, because a lot of Pitt players have had success in the NFL. Aaron Donald, Darrell Revis, Larry Fitzgerald, recently, they put guys in the NFL and they have the most Hall of Famers. So Pitt fans do put a lot of stock into that. And I get it. It should never be more important than what your guys do on Saturday, though. And sometimes I do think that gets lost with Pitt fans. All these Hall of Famers, but for 40 years, there was a lot of mediocre football. Again, Narduzzi comes in, they win the ACC championship, obviously not mediocre. Win 9 games the next year, obviously not mediocre. But there was a long stretch there where you're signing up for 6-6 and at best 8-5. A couple of those Doran years with Wonstadt were good, but few and far between those moments. And so you want to put a lot of stock in what guys do in the NFL. But it should never matter more if you're wearing a Pitt shirt at a game than what they do, those guys did, at the school. And what Kenny Pickett did at Pitt was make a case, a strong one, that he's the second best quarterback to ever play there. Dan Marino, Kenny Pickett, hard to argue. And y'all gonna boo him? You should build a statue of Kenny Pickett. If you want to boo him on a Jumbotron of the Steeler game, that would never happen. He would never be there. But that would make sense. He quit, according to reports, in Seattle. And he did not want to compete for the starting job. And he got baby-faced and pouted. And that's why they shipped him out of town. They didn't have designs on moving on from Kenny that quick. But Kenny was upset. And so they let him go. If you're a Steelers fan and you don't like what Kenny did there, yeah, I get it. If you root against Kenny Pickett in the NFL now because he screwed your NFL franchise, I get it. But when you go to a Pitt game, you're not a Steelers fan that Saturday. Like, if you are a true college football fan, that has to matter more. And again, it shouldn't be booing. It should be a statue. He was, what, third in the Heisman voting? He's sitting there in New York City in the front row, and he's a quarterback at Pitt, and you're going to boo him? Again, not too many people, but enough to make me go, what the hell is wrong with you guys? Agree, disagree, comments, questions, concerns, 412-928-9370. Texter, he's a paid athlete now. Crowley, you're allowed to boo him. That's not the point. With that booing, as few and far between as that was, because I don't want to make it sound like more booed than didn't, because that wasn't the case. But those of you who booed might as well have been wearing shirts that said, I care about the Steelers much more than I care about my university. And I care about his failure in Pittsburgh more than his successes at the University of Pittsburgh. And I just think when you show up to a college football game, you check all that stuff at the door. It's not about him getting paid. You could boo. Me turning the microphone on doesn't mean I'm telling you not to do it. I think if you did, though, you're a jackal. I think it's wrong. Callis, you had a comment? You didn't. Would you have booed him?
Yeah, probably if I'd have heard boos, yeah.
Yeah, but you're not a Pitt fan. Shouldn't even ask you.
What do you mean I'm not a Pitt fan?
You're not a real Pitt fan. Texter, I have never loved you more than I do right now. It drives me up a wall. It drives me up a wall because Pitt fans get crapped on all the time for attendance and this and that. Where's your on-campus stadium? And I do think Pitt's got some very passionate fans. But that, to me, is so much worse of a look than there being a few empty seats. Is when you boo a guy who won you an ACC championship. It gives the haters a lot of fuel that, oh, you don't really care that much. You're just going to put the Steelers hat on Sunday and forget about everything that happened on Saturday. It gives those people some credence. And I do think it was a bad, bad look. 412-928-9370. I don't think Pitt fans, you know, obviously you would have rather him succeeded, but I don't think because he flamed out and didn't work out here in Pittsburgh, you should view Kenny Pickett's time at the University of Pittsburgh any different. He was a godsend. He was unbelievable. And he won you a championship. All right, how about the current team? We'll touch on them briefly coming up next. Jeff Hathorn joins us at 7 o'clock. I'm just having a hard time with this Kenny Pickett getting booed thing on Saturday. Drives me up a wall. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Jeff Hathorn, our sports director, going to join us at the top of the hour. Like, okay, so Saquon Barkley's an Eagle this year, right? And there's a lot of Penn State fans that are Eagles fans. Let's say Saquon Barkley in the Super Bowl this season fumbles it away like Rashard Mendenhall did for the Steelers back against the Green Bay Packers. And Saquon Barkley's face is put up on the Jumbotron at Beaver Stadium. If there are boos, I think those people should be ashamed of themselves. And that's how I feel about Kenny Pickett. And what he did at the college should matter more. When Saquon Barkley is at Beaver Stadium as a Nittany Lion, his time there for them should matter a lot more than what he did with the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't think it's a difficult concept to grasp, but I was really surprised that that happened on Saturday. Before I get into the actual game and Eli Holstein and all that, D in Manassas wanted to weigh in. Hey, D.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. What's up?
Oh, not bad. Big fan. But I just wanted to make a quick comment on the Kenny Pickett booing.
Mm-hmm.
I 100% completely disagree with you because, first of all, Pittsburgh's a little big city. So if you're a Pitt fan, you're a Pirate fan. If you're a Pirate fan, you're a Penguins fan. If you're a Penguins fan, you're a Steelers fan.
Yeah.
The fan bases are all mixed together. It's the same. Half the crowd there was probably wearing Steelers gear at a Pitt game. But I don't think that you guys should change the narrative. If somebody shows up at a Steeler game, you start booing Tomlin or start booing Matt Canada when he was offensive coordinator. Even when people were going to Penguins games, they were chanting Fire Canada, and your station was pretty enamored and entertained by the whole thing, and nobody was like, oh, well, that's wrong.
I don't think it's the same thing. I think when you walk into Acrisure Stadium on a Pitt Saturday, the most important thing should be Pitt. And Kenny Pickett is a legend at Pitt. He showed up as a Panther. He didn't show up as the guy who flamed out with the Steelers. And you have to separate it, in my opinion. I do appreciate the call, D, and I understand where you're coming from. I just disagree with you. As for the actual game, and we're going to be all Steelers the rest of the way pretty much here, so I did want to get into this. I thought Eli Holstein looked really good. And I think Cade Bell's offense looked really good. And he did some creative things, and I don't think they held stuff back. I mean, I'm sure they didn't show everything against Kent State. But the one play that really caught my eye is when you had Gavin Bartholomew on the end of the line, and he had a late release. Looked like he was going to block for a second, then he's just wide open. Bartholomew's a weapon, man. And you got to use him as such. And you got to do things to get the ball into your playmaker's hands. And I think Cade Bell showed in one game that he could do that. Now, I think the offensive line's got some work. I think there are some issues, and you do have to remember who they played. You're going to find out these next 2 weeks. Cincinnati on the road on Saturday, and then West Virginia comes to town the week after that. Regardless of how it goes, regardless of how many games Pitt wins this year, Pat Narduzzi absolutely did the right thing by hiring Cade Bell. And did the right thing by starting Eli Holstein. Clearly, he has an understanding of the offense. And you can see there's a lot of talent there in that young man. He was heavily recruited by Alabama and other schools for a reason. If it works out and you wind up winning 9 games, something like that, obviously everyone's going to say, oh my gosh, what a decision. I'm getting out on the front end. You got to get out on the front end, I think. And say, regardless, Tigers don't change their stripes very often, man. But the good ones do. Pat Narduzzi is probably fairly uncomfortable playing with a high-tempo offense that could leave the defense out to dry a little bit. But he has changed his stripes because he knows how they won 20 games a couple of years ago. You got to play offense, modern offense, in today's college football, and they are. Good hire by Pat Narduzzi. Someone just texted in and said, Kenny Pickett's not a Pitt legend. All right. Okay. Heisman finalist, won an ACC championship. What are we even doing here? All right, coming up next, Jeff Hathorn going to join the program. Who's going to start at left guard for the Steelers? How much Jaylen Warren should we expect? We'll talk about all that and more with Jeff. But first, Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Visit Sun Chevrolet, Washington Road, McMurray, or at sunchevy.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.